You are listening to Talking About Organizations, a podcast about management and organization studies. This is an excerpt of episode 58, the live recording from the second edition of our professional development workshop on classics of organization and management theory. This was held at the 79th annual meeting of the Academy of Management in August 2019. This is the introductory segment where our own Pedro Montero and Greta Corporal explain the purpose to rekindle interest in classic works of management and organization theory, specifically works stemming from the contingency approach. Let's listen.
Welcome everyone to the second edition of the Classics of OMT. My name is Pedro Monteiro. I'm a postdoc at Lyon Business School, and together with Greta Corporal from University of Oxford, I've organized this session. Just to get things started, I just wanted to give you the program. What is the menu for the day? We are going to start. Me and Greta will give just an overview of the reason why we decided to organize this session and what is the contingency approach. Then we're going to have the presentations. We are going to have the roundtables and then just a quick plenary discussion with the takeaways from the roundtables. So just a few logistics. We'll be recording the presentations of the speakers, and they're going to be released via the Talking About Organizations podcast that Greta and I are part of. And we also prepared an information sheet that was supposed to give an overview about the continuous approach and the different schools that we'll be discussing today. And for all those who've registered for the PDW, we sent them yesterday. If you have not registered and would like to receive it, you can just give it your email when we send it to you. So to start with, why a PDW on classics? As I mentioned, this is the second edition, second time we are doing that. We did one last year in Chicago that was more general, and we thought that it would be more interesting and more fruitful to focus on a specific school. And we were hoping that this is going to become a kind of a standing moment during the AOM meetings to reflect about the importance of classics. This is also related to the work that Greta and I have been doing at the Talking About Organizations podcast. We started this 4 years ago, and we have been growing ever since. And the podcast is a conversational podcast in which we talk about specific authors or papers, and what is the main role that that specific classic author played, and how it still speaks for today. The latest episode is about Charles Clinton Spalding, and one of the things we have been trying to do in the podcast is to expand the very notion of classics, so also introduce authors that have not been considered such before. And just a quick note, we now have a listening base of circa 15,000 listeners per every episode, so you know it's quite substantial, I think. So why a PhD in classics in light of our state of the field? You know, there have been, of course, many claims and discussions about the enduring importance of classics. Nevertheless, we have to recognize that, I think, as a field, we tend to be, I don't know, follow fashion and to try to end up, you know, giving more space for novelty or interesting things and sometimes forgetting a bit where we come from. So I think that's important to continuously remind ourselves, both in terms of the importance of the problematics and the approaches and the where we come from, and to understand how it still matters. And there is another reason we think, you know, this is kind of the overall classic matters, we have to study them and everyone does that during their PhD training. But we also think that classics are not just a moment in time in which we learn. We think that's important to continuously dialogue and continuously learn and revisit these things. So that's why we wanted to do these sessions here at AOM, in which to create a space in a moment that we usually are talking about the frontiers of new knowledge, to also talk about where we come from and reflect how this inform and better equip us. And we specifically think that they can provide a way to address some of the issues that org studies and org theory seems to be, you know, facing, specifically the what some people say is a crisis. So that's why I have the paper there, the essay there from Barley, which exactly reflects on that, on how as a field we have lost a bit of the relevance and we are finding ourselves with not so much coherence. So we think that classics is also a way to find our bearing. In light of that, we would like to start with a little postcard, and I'm going to give Greta to you to take you there.
Hi everyone, I'm Greta from University of Oxford. And as we prepared for this PDW, we approached several scholars in our field to send us some postcards, and these are kind of the digital representations of that. And this one came from Beth Betschke, actually. And we asked them, like, what is your view on the contingency approach? And yeah, here she wrote, scholars who wrote the classic works in contingency theory were trying to explain how what happened within organizations was influenced by the environments. Many of them went into organizations and looked closely at what was going on there. This is no longer as typical in organization theory, and as someone interested in organizations and what people do in them, I found this work interesting and somewhat useful. Their focus on the relationships between organizational units and our functions is important to thinking about how work gets done in organizations. I think this is a good kickoff of what the contingency approach is about. And to give you a little bit of a primer, we go to what some of the important scholars in this field have written about it. And one of them, of course, is Lex Donaldson, who we have been in touch with as we prepared for this PDW. And as we all know, the contingency approach, like why it has been important in the period of the 60s and the 80s, is drawing attention to fit, to making this fit between the organizational environment and what is happening within the organization. A focus on tasks, a focus on technologies and work processes. And where it also drew attention to is instead of this one-size-fits-all solution of what organization design should look like, paying attention to maybe specific design for different types of organizations that face different environments as well as different internal processes and structures. So that's very well written down by Lex Donaldson. And we asked him if he wanted to come to Boston, and we also received a postcard from him. He's in Sydney at the moment. He's greeting us, best wishes from Sydney, Australia. After working for many years in a contingency approach to organization theory, I'm now fully retired. However, it gives me much satisfaction to see contingency theory continuing to be of use to colleagues and students in their research. I believe it's a very robust paradigm, and I wish you all great success in your endeavors. We thought this was such a nice message we received from him. When we kind of go to the broader perspective of the contingency approach, it was kind of the start of this type of open systems thinking within organization studies, as Scott and also other scholars have kind of positioned it within the broader field of different perspectives. And here this is, here we have a Google engram that we made to see, like, you know, all the different ways contingency has been have been worded, like when was it popular? And you clearly see this peak between the 60s and 80s where it was very important and the decline afterwards. And just some of the key readings within this perspective. This approach hasn't been without its criticisms. So one of the criticisms has been, like, is it really a theory? What is the contingency? Is it approach? Is it an analytical sensitivity? Also, its limited analytical robustness has been mentioned, as well as the criticisms about issues of power, emergence that has not been covered by it, as well as a more processual view. So here we have the next postcard, and I take it to Pedro.
Despite the critiques, you know, I think what is interesting is that contingency has survived, and despite the change that we see that is not so popular approach anymore, still some people are still choose do work on that. So we decided to reach out to Andrew van de Ven, who had written a more or less recent annals piece exactly trying to claim for that, to see what you have to say on the matter, and he wrote to us. In our 2013 annals chapter, Ganko Heinings, Bob Heinings, and I encourage scholars to return to the frontier of organizational science by reopening the study of continuous theory of organizational institutional design. In terms of practice, perhaps no other area of management scholarship has had such a profound impact. Organizational design has spawned and sustains a multi-billion dollar management consulting industry worldwide. We optimistically think that the sky is the limit and the future looks rosy for organizational contingent theory, because marketing science demands we put organizational researchers, perhaps grudgingly, to create high-performance organizational designs for dynamically changing conditions. We also reached out to someone in Boston, Jay Lorsch, which has written, of course, importantly about, and we discovered is actually working on a book about contingent theory, and he wrote to us, "How are younger scholars thinking about the state of contingency theory today? Well, stay tuned, we are just finishing a book on the topic." So we wanted to show that the approach, of course, has informed a lot and has had a decline, and for, of course, some reasons, but there is also people working on that. And as you probably saw when you registered, we were expecting to have four speakers, but unfortunately, Bob Heinings is unable to join us. He was stranded in Montreal trying to reach here. There was a whole flight issue, so unfortunately he's not going to be able to join us, which is a shame because, as you might know, Bob was actually part of the Aston Group, which was one of the foundation pieces of the contingent approach. And I'm not competent enough to say anything about that, but I think I will just, you know, for those who don't know, say a bit about the Aston Group, which was this bunch of people from different perspectives and disciplines that came together at the Aston, which is now the university, but was back then a technical college. They conducted this research in trying to understand the structures of organizations in a comparative way. And they did very deep data collection with a very large sample of organizations. And they're the ones responsible for a number of our ideas about organizational structure and design. You know, they were the ones that claimed that bureaucracy doesn't only exist in one way. There are different forms of being bureaucratic and different parameters and concepts that we still use today. These are the slides from Bob. You know, I just wanted to show you what was some of his reflections. Now we move on to the meat of the matter, which are the presentations. I'm just going to introduce the speakers, and we're going to start with the first one. So first, we're going to have Sarah Claflin, who is Professor of Strategic Management at the Rotman School of Business, who will be talking about John Woodward. Then we're going to have Sinia Vikelso, which is Professor of Technologies of Organizational Analysis at the Copenhagen Business School. That'll be talking about the Tavistock Institute. And then we're going to have Gino Catani, who is Professor of Management and Organizations at the Stern School of Business at NYU, which will be talking to us about James Thompson. So we start with Sarah. Thank you.